To the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and as we're missing several today, a lot of people are sick and have sinus problems, probably the weather and the allergies and all of it just combined is hard on some, harder on some people than on others. But I told somebody this morning there's been a lot of rainbows this week, seen several, seen one this morning. Seen some last week. There's a rainbow. It landed across from our house. The end of it was right on the top of the Dollar General store. So now you know where the pot of gold is. Somebody said that was the vilest Walmart. And I thought that was funny. But anyway, we're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, beginning in verse number 23. Down through verse number 26, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and verse 23 down through 26. There's no doubt in my mind I've preached more messages out of this passage of Scripture than any other in the Bible on the subject of the Lord's Supper. Different messages that the Lord's given me down through the years. In fact, there's some I've not preached here at Mount Lebanon, but preached at Forest Grove and when we were out in Idaho, but once again, we're going to look at this passage of Scripture on the Lord's Supper. And the Bible said in verse number 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Let's pray. Lord, I am thankful to be here today, and I'm thankful for all the blessings that you've given to us, and Lord, for the rain, we did need it. No doubt about that. It gotten very dry, and Lord, we realize that, God, if we don't have rain, we don't have life. Everything would die, so Lord, we're thankful for it. A lot of times we complain about it or we don't like to see it, but it's one of the necessary things of life, and Lord, it's a blessing. We're thankful, Lord, that you're still watching after us and meeting our needs, and Lord, we come today a needy people. I hope we come a thirsty people, not thirsty physically, but spiritually, that we would recognize in our souls that we need to hear from God today, Lord, that we need your help. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, each and individual heart in the service this morning. I pray that you'd give us what we need. I pray that you'd have your way. Lord, that is our main concern in prayer today, that, Lord, you would just have your way in our hearts, whatever that might be, whatever our need is. I pray that you'd meet it. Lord, you know. And Lord, we're thankful for that. I pray for your help. I pray nothing would hinder. And I pray that you would be honored and glorified today. We'll thank you. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. And so I desire your prayers today as well, that the Lord would make it easy for us and speak to our hearts. And I want us to begin by reading one more time verse number 26, where the Bible said, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Nowhere in the Bible does it say to have the Lord's Supper once a year or twice a year or four times a year or every Sunday. The Bible just says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup." And so we, different churches, have the Lord's Supper different numbers of times throughout the year, different Sundays. There's no set Sunday or time that the Bible says that we ought to have the Lord's Supper, but just as often as ye eat this, whenever you do it, this is how that it ought to be done. Then it goes on in verse 26 and says, "As often as ye do show the Lord's death till he come." And I've used this title before, "Till he come." I like to get my titles from the Scripture, and I think I've preached on that before, "Till he come." But I've never preached this message before. But I want to use that thought today, "Till he come? I've always heard it preached, and I've read in different books by different Bible teachers that one in every 20 or 25 verses in the New Testament, on average, has to deal with in some way the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that would be feasible to say that. You've got one whole book that is just the revelation of Jesus Christ. The whole book is about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never counted to see if that's exactly correct or not. I'm sure that somebody has. But if you know anything about the Bible, we would all agree that the subject of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is prominent in the Bible. I mean, you find it all throughout. You read the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all throughout the book of Acts and the epistles and the book of Revelation. They all, at some point, deal with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse number 13 says that it is our blessed hope. Our blessed hope. We as the children of God have a blessed hope. I went to Brother McCurry's funeral last Thursday. And as I sat there and I heard the singing and I heard the preaching and I felt the good Spirit of God speaking to my heart, I thought to myself, if people don't believe that we believe what we believe, they ought to come to one of our funerals. We didn't sit around and, yes, it was sad and there's a lot of brokenheartedness, but there's a overshadowing presence of hope. Not a hope maybe, but a know that we knew where our brother was and that we knew that if we're saved by the grace of God, one day we go to be with him. We have a blessed hope as the children of God that we will be joined with our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, whether that's through the grave or whether that's by way of the trump of God. We have a blessed hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter number 14, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Isn't that a blessing this morning? He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." I will come again. All throughout the Bible, we find the promise of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stood out by the graveside, and Brother Honeycutt read the scripture of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." There's some people, they have no hope when it comes to the grave, when it comes to dying, when it comes to death and hard things like this. He said, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." We have a blessed hope. We might go by the way of the grave, but we might skip that altogether. Wouldn't that be a blessing? If we're here this morning and you're saved by the grace of God, you have a chance of not dying. What a blessing. We might go by the way of the trump till he come. Till he come. There's some things that we read about and we learn from this passage of Scripture that we will do till he come. I want to point them out this morning. What will we do till he come? Number one, we will worship till he comes. Verse number 23, one more time, the Bible said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And Paul is describing what he had received from the Lord. What we're going to do here today is not something that goes back 100 years ago. But that's a long time. We're not talking about something that was started 300 years ago or 1,500 years ago. We're not talking about something that we're going to be doing here today in just a little while that was started by some church or some denomination along the way. We're not talking about something that one of the church fathers that you hear talked about and even one of the apostles come up with. But what we're talking about today, Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." The Lord Jesus Christ himself, on the night before he was crucified upon the cross of Calvary, gathered together with the disciples in the upper room. They had the Passover, and then the Lord Jesus Christ, in a very simple way, instituted what we're going to be doing here in just a little while. A very simple worship service that represents and reminds us of our communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Bible says in verse number 24 and verse number 25, the purpose, or one of the purposes of the Lord's Supper, is to put us in remembrance. It's a reminder. It is a reminder in verse number 24 that the Lord Jesus Christ, his body was broken for you and I. There is no saving grace. There is no such thing as taking the Lord's Supper and that saving you. This has nothing to do with your eternal salvation. This is for people that's already been saved. We that have been saved by the grace of God and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be reminded from time to time what the Lord's done for us. And his body was broken for you and for me upon the cross of Calvary. We're to be reminded of that. That cup which we will partake of, which is grape juice. It's the fruit of the vine. It is a reminder in verse number 25. "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" We are reminded of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a worship service. We come together to worship and to remember the great price that Jesus paid for you and I when he died upon Calvary. And it has gone on now for 2,000 some years. Wherever in the world you would find Christian people gathering together and worshiping together in the church atmosphere, in a church setting, you would find that Christians would observe together the Lord's Supper. That's just one of the things that we do. We'll do this till he comes. You know, last spring we had the Lord's Supper. And I thought about it then, and we say this every time we have the Lord's Supper. This might be the last time. We had the Lord's Supper last spring. We're going to have the Lord's Supper this morning. And if the Lord doesn't come and he allows us to meet back together next May, last Sunday in May, we're going to have the Lord's Supper again, Lord willing. We're going to do that till he comes. We're going to meet and worship together and be reminded of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and the great price that he paid upon Calvary. We're going to do that till he comes. That's what we're going to do. Say, "Preacher, what are we going to do? The world's in a mess and the nations are in an uproar and the religious world," and on and on and on we could go, and we could bring the headlines of the newspapers and talk about that. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to worship. I know we're going to do that. That's what we need to be doing. We're going to worship till he comes. We're going to work until he comes. Now, look in chapter 11, verse number 1 and verse number 2, what the Bible says. We're going to work until he comes. The Bible said over there, Paul said, same chapter, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. There's actually two ordinances in the Bible, and there's two ordinances in a Baptist church. What a coincidence. If we're not lining up with the Bible, we need to. But there are ordinances that we are to keep, that we are to be involved in till the Lord comes. And Paul said, remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. They're to be kept as is. This is the work of the Lord. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 19, the Lord Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The work of the Lord is actually very, very simple. It is not a complicated thing. It is a very easy thing. We know what we're supposed to be doing. The work of the Lord is just simply this: go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. As people are saved, we are to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We are to establish churches all over the world and repeat, which just means do the same thing. Out of one church ought to be birthed another church and another church, and they're to do the same thing. And they're the same thing. Go, preach, baptize, teach, repeat. Do it over and over and over again. That's the work of the Lord. And Paul said to keep the ordinances as they were delivered unto him. The work of the Lord is to be kept as is. Unless you've been on another planet this week, you probably know the Pope came to America. A lot of people have Pope fever. A lot of people are talking about the Pope and what he said and where he went and what he done and how great it's been and all these things. Say, preacher, have you got Pope fever? I don't have Pope fever. Somebody asked me, they said, have you been keeping up with the Pope? I said, no, I've not been keeping up with the Pope. They said, why not? He's great. I said, I have a life to live. I'm busy. I got stuff going on. I'm involved in the work of the Lord. But I'm going to give you a real, real short answer to why I don't have Pope fever. The Bible said in John chapter number 5 and verse number 39, Jesus said, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. If you search the Scriptures and know what the Bible says about the work of the Lord, you won't be too enthralled by the Pope. Could I say this morning, the Pope's not involved in the work of the Lord. Preaching the gospel, getting people saved, teaching them to observe all things and search the Scriptures and live by the Bible and obey the Word of God. You'll never find a Pope in the Bible. You won't find a nun. You won't find a monk. You won't find a mass. You won't find a sacrament in the Bible. There's a whole lot of things goes on in the religious world, but that don't mean it lines up with the Word of God. I want to line up with the Bible. I want to be involved in the work of the Lord. And I can tell you with certainty this morning that the work of the Lord is blessedly simple. And it is going on right here. The work of the Lord. Preach, baptize, establish churches. Our missionaries, you say, what do you do at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church? One of the major things that we do, support missionaries. missionaries that are involved in the work of the Lord, that are going and preaching and making disciples and establishing churches and doing the same thing over and over all over the world. That's the work of the Lord. And what we are doing this morning is very, very important. Paul said, keep it as I delivered it unto you. We do not have the authority to go out and change and say, well, I think this would be a good idea. I think that would be a good idea. That's religion. But the work of the Lord is actually to do it like the Lord said to do it. If we're doing something else in His name, but it is not the way He said to do it, we may be doing something, but we're not doing the work of the Lord. And so Paul said, as you do this, you be careful that you do this as I delivered it unto you. Don't be venturing off and adding to and changing and all these things. And so here we come some 2,000 years later, and we're to worship till He comes, and we're to work till He come. Till He come. I look on down in verse number 26, something else till He come. We will warn till He comes. We will warn till He comes. Look in verse number 26. Paul said this, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The Lord's Supper is a very, very serious thing. It's a very solemn occasion. It's a time that we are to look within ourselves. It's not only a time of remembrance that we remember what the Lord has done for us, but it is a time of examination. We'll examine ourselves. That's what he's talking about in verse 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Verse number 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We're to examine ourselves. We're to judge ourselves. We are to examine our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we even have one? Are we saved? Are we saved? Have you been born again? We use a lot of language. It's Bible language, but a lot of people don't understand that. Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Have you a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Yes, you've been physically born. You're here. But have you been spiritually born from above? Do you know that the Spirit of God lives and dwells within your heart? Is there a time in your life you can go back to and say, yes, that's where the Lord changed me. That's where I was saved. I ought to examine that. And there ought to be a time. There ought to be a difference in our lives that we can look back and we say, yes, I know that I'm saved. I know if I died that I would go to heaven. Examine our salvation. We also, in light of the context of the Scripture, we ought to ask ourselves, is our heart right with God? We're coming to sit at the Lord's table. We're coming together to sit down and worship and remember what Jesus did for us upon the cross of Calvary. Is your heart right with God? See, Paul was writing to the Corinthians because they were going through the motions, but there was a lot of things that just weren't right. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's also talking about the Lord's Supper. Or sometimes we call it communion. It's the same thing. But the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, he said, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Are we not meeting together? Are we not having communion? Look at verse 21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. He said, you better pay attention to what you're doing here. You can't come in and sit down at the Lord's table when you're sitting at the devil's table last night. Just fellowshipping with the devil's table in the week before, the days before, whatever the case might be, it's a time that we would examine our heart before the Lord. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I know there's sin in my life, the Lord will not hear my prayers is what it's talking about. It's a time that we examine our heart and just ask like the old-timey preachers used to ask, is our heart right with God? Are we right with God? Do we know that we're saved? Here's a biggie that the Apostle Paul was dealing with in this passage of Scripture in chapter number 11. We ask ourselves, are we right with one another? Look at verse 17. Chapter 11, verse 17. He said, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. They were coming together for the Lord's Supper. He said in verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. They were fighting among themselves. There is division in the church at Corinth. And so when they come together for the Lord's Supper, it was not for the better, but for the worse. They were actually worse off. Can you go to church to worship the Lord? And even go through something as serious as the Lord's Supper and go home worse off than you came? Yes, you can. If you try to go through the motions, if you try to act like everything's all right and it's not, and you go through the motions anyway, you'll go away worse off. That's what Paul was talking about here. There's divisions among them. Everything was not right. How many go to the doctor once a year for a physical, get a checkup? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand. Most people do. You go to the dentist maybe every 6 months or every year. Make sure you don't have cavities, nothing's going on, it's going to harm you later on. You know, you go to the doctor, you go to the dentist, you get a checkup, see if everything's all right. Do you know the Lord's Supper ought to be a checkup? It ought to be a spiritual checkup where we come before the Lord Jesus Christ and we come before the Word of God and we just honestly open up our heart and our life and we say, Lord, what needs working on? What's not right? Or we probably already know what's not right. But are we willing to deal with it? If we took it as seriously as we ought to and it observed it as the Bible says, it ought to help us. Do you know the having of the Lord's Supper ought to help you spiritually? You shouldn't come and go away worse. As we have the Lord's Supper in the church, it ought to be a time that we check up and get an examination and do business with God and one another, and we go away better because of it. It really ought to be a time where we get right with God, where we get right with one another, where we ask for forgiveness one of another, where we make sure that there's nobody in our midst that we cannot go to, love them, hug their neck, speak to them, say everything is all right. If you can't do that, you would be better off not to partake. You really would. You'd be better to, we're either going to get right or get judged. See, that's what Paul said. It's so serious. He said, this is the reason why many are sick and weak and you're having so many problems among yourself because you're not honoring the Lord's Supper. You're coming together and you're going away. You're going away. You're worse. You're not better. You ought to come and you ought to go away better. But you come and you do this and you're not right with God and you're not right with one another. So you're going away worse than you were. If you go to the checkup, if you go to a checkup with the doctor, you ought to want to go away better. Nobody wants to go away worse. Verse number 17, he said, "Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse." That's why I was saying better and worse. That's what Paul said. In verse number 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." But verse 31 says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." You say, "Preacher, what should I do?" Judge yourself. You know, people come to me and talk. They already know. I'm not much of a counselor. I just put it back on you. You know what's wrong. 95% of the people that come and want to talk and have problems in their life, they already know what's wrong. Pride, stubbornness, sin, lust. I mean, you just go down the list, but you already know. You know in your life, I know in my life what hinders me, pulls me down, trips me up. You know in your life, we all do. But it's a very serious, serious thing. And it ought to cause us to get right inward, outward, amongst ourselves. If not, and I've seen people do this before, and I respected them because of it. Things weren't right. They didn't partake. That really takes a big Christian. I mean, if they're not right and can't get right, they took it so serious that they said, "You know, this time, till I make things right." See, that's what the Lord's Supper ought to do. It ought to cause us to examine ourselves. We will warn till He comes. Number four and last of all this morning, we'll wait till He comes. We will wait until He comes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 5 through 10 talks about the Thessalonians and how that they had turned to God from idols to wait for His Son from heaven. We're waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ as we worship and work and warn and involved in all these things. What are we doing? We're waiting on Him. We're waiting upon the Lord Jesus Christ to come and to take us home to heaven. It is a feast of remembrance. It is a feast of examination. But it is also a feast of anticipation. You know, one of these days in verse number 26, this "till He come" is going to change into "when He comes." We're waiting, we're waiting, we're waiting. One of these days is going to be our last time. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. And we'll wait no longer. He's going to come. This past week, I've had 6 months worth of bad news in a week. Has anybody else ever have a week like that? Seem like every time you turn around, and it's all varieties. I told Kim this morning, I said, "I'm just going to preach last Sunday's message over again." Last Sunday I preached on trouble, and this week that's all I've heard about is trouble, trouble, trouble. In fact, there was somebody here last Sunday, and they heard the message on Sunday, and I saw them on Monday, and they were having some problems, and I told them, I said, "I'm sorry for your trouble. I'm sorry that you're having trouble." And we had a little laugh about it. But that's how life is. We hear bad news from every hand. And I was praying and thinking about what the Lord would have me preach this morning. And I was thinking about all the different problems. And I mean, it's all kinds of things. People are sick. People are dying. Families are tore up. It's always happening. Sometimes maybe you just hear more about it, but it just seems like there's been a lot. And I thought to myself, "Lord, I would like to preach something that would help the saints and that would be an encouragement. And I wish today that, you know, we could just go around to each other and say, take it away. Take away your problem. Take away your problem. Take away your burden." But I don't have the power to do that. Nobody else does either. And there's nothing that's going to happen that's going to fix everybody's problems all at once. And if your problem gets fixed this week, you're going to have another problem next week. If there's one thing that's going to fix our problems, we'll just have to wait till then. Till he come. My Grandpa Cornett, you know, he's a preacher, and people ask him, "Preacher Clyde, how you doing? How do you feel? How's your health?" I've heard him say many times, "There's nothing wrong with me that a new body won't fix." He's looking for that blessed hope. He's waiting for the Lord to call him home. We will wait until he comes. There are going to be problems galore all throughout our life. But the Bible said in Psalms 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Wait on him. It's going to be all right one of these days. But until then, it's going to be more of the same. There's going to be national problems and local problems and problems in your family and health problems and people dying and getting sick and all these things. But the Bible said in verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." There's been millions of Christians down through the years that have read those verses. I'm sure I'm not the same preacher I'm not the only preacher that stood up and said, "One of these days will be the last time we'll take this. We're doing this till he comes. We're waiting until he comes." But I really believe this morning that the great majority of the people in the world will be taken by surprise. Till he comes. Till he comes. See, people have in their mind that there's going to be some great happening in the world, and it will cause people to say, "Oh, the Lord's getting ready to come. We'd better get right with God." But the more I study the Bible, I don't believe that's the way it's going to be. Everything that has to happen for the Lord to come again is already happened. Israel is a nation back in the land. Apostasy, there's a great falling away. The world would gladly accept any leader that could come along and unify everybody and say great swelling words. They just fall down on their face. They don't want the Lord Jesus Christ, but let the right leader come along and the nations of the world will fall in line behind them. That could happen tomorrow. You don't have to have another 9/11. You don't have to have a great earthquake. You don't have to have World War III. You don't have to have 4 blood moons in 2 years and all this stuff. The people down in Sodom and Gomorrah were going about their life, minding their own business, involved and consumed in their wickedness. And the Lord came, and he got Lot out of there, and the judgment fell. It didn't make the morning headlines that some visitors had come, and the Lot and his family had gotten out of town. There was no great warning. One of these days, he's going to come. He's going to come, and the world's going to wonder what happened. And we're going to wait until he does. We don't have any other option. We can't check out. There's no island to go to get away from all that goes on. But what we'll have to do, we'll have to do what Jesus said in the book of Luke: occupy till I come. Busy yourself. Be about my work. Be about my worship. He's coming. As we've already said, one day is going to be our last Lord's Supper. And so we come again one more time. It's 2015. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. We ought to remember these things till he come. I'd like for us this morning to do just a little bit differently than we usually do. I